Our scripture reading this morning is from the lectionary, and I feel like I need to make a disclaimer like people do for movies or sometimes even the news. It is a bit violent, but the last two verses give us encouragement, so listen for those. It's from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29 through chapter 12, verse 2, and I'm using the New International Version. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle, and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planted something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thus ends our reading today.
Aloha, Church of the Crossroads. I bring you greetings from the sister 117 congregations that make up the Hawaii Conference of the United Church of Christ, of which you are a part as well. And I thank you for the honor of being your guest speaker for today. In my office, you will find a photograph of a burned out Greyhound bus. At the top of the photo, it reads, Freedom Riders, Anniston, Alabama, 1961. Freedom Riders were groups of civil rights activists who participated in freedom rides, bus trips through the American South, and car trips in other parts of the U.S., starting in 1961 to protest segregated bus terminals. Freedom Riders tried to use white-only restrooms and lunch counters at bus stations in Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, and other southern states. By the time the Freedom Riders ended their campaign, hundreds were involved in states even beyond the South. But in the spring of 1961, the original bus consisted of 13 activists in their bus driver. The bus had fared well through a lot of its trip, but in Anniston, they had been firebombed. With threats to their lives, those 13 activists continued on after a new bus and even a new bus driver could be arranged for. At the bottom of that photo is printed the word perseverance. Our passage today is about enduring and persevering when the easier and safer thing to do is to walk away. The faith community, which the letter to the Hebrews was written, started their faith journey with great expectations. More than likely, they were second-generation Christians whose elders possibly met the apostles and heard firsthand reports of the life and ministry of Jesus. But that generation had passed away. We can understand the joy of that community as they first formed themselves, the hope that they embraced, right? The hope that brings joy, for Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Like them, I suspect when you stepped upon your path of faith, you did so with the assurance that faith leads to an advantageous place. Albeit that place looks different for different people. For some, it is more centeredness in life. For others, it might be a sense of the self and connection to that which is larger than our individual egos. Some are seeking a profound sense of beauty, and still others, the new creation that lies just over the horizon. And no matter how you express your hunger for salvation, all of us began our faith journeys in high hopes and expectations that the land of promise lays ahead of us. Like the Freedom Riders, the journey of the community for which this book of the New Testament was written took a turn. Some of their members were imprisoned. Others had their property confiscated. And many were persecuted. We read about that earlier in chapter 10. Commentator Thomas Long notes, the writer of Hebrews is addressing a real and urgent pastoral problem, one that seems astonishingly contemporary. His congregation is exhausted. They are tired, tired of serving the world, tired of worship, tired of Christian education, tired of being peculiar and whispered about in society, tired of the spiritual struggle, tired of trying to keep their prayer life going, tired even of Jesus. Astonishingly contemporary. Amen to that. Count me in. I'm among the tired. I'm tired of being a part of an institution which in a larger set in the U.S. in particular seems to be hell-bent on using the media to embarrass Jesus at every opportunity. And to distance myself from those expressions of the faith, I say things like, you don't have to check your brain at the church of my, at the door of my church. Or no, that's not the God I relate to. Or, you know, Christianity is not a monolithic expression. But in the end, I am tired of trying to make relevant what our society deems irrelevant, the spiritual life. Possibly you are tired too. I hope not, but I cannot ignore the statistics which continue to raise up the duns, the D-O-N-E-S, those faithful and devout persons done with the institutionalized church. If you are a done, the good news is the letters of Hebrews is written for you and for me too in some sense. To encourage us at this point in his exhortations to us, the writer plunges us into the great litany of the faithful. And even before we get to verse 29, which starts our passage today, and thank you, that was a beautiful reading of the passage. Before we get there, we have encountered Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham and his family, and Moses. And then at verse 29, we pick up with the crossing of the Sea of Reeds and the liberation of a people from bondage, the entrance into the promised land, the struggle for self-determination, the establishment of a kingdom, all great acts bringing into sharp relief for fulfillment and hopes, the aspirations of the faithful, there in real life, in the now of our living. But then, and you got it, then halfway through verse 35, faith takes a shallowy turn, and we begin to hear phrases such as tortured, mocking and scourging, chains and imprisonment, stoned, sawed in two, killed by the sword, destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. With these words, we understand why the writer frames faith as a marathon, a test of endurance. This murkier journey of the faith does not manifest in sharp relief the fulfillment of hopes and aspirations in the now of our living. It seems to only manifest sorrow and disappointment. Through this twist of the faith journey, the writer wants us to discover that faith is not simply a mental assent to the existence of a God or a set of beliefs about the divine. Rather, faith is a trust that following God leads us to a better state of being. But how can this be true if for some the journey of faith takes an awkward turn and we find ourselves in a place of despair and hopelessness? At such times in our lives, as we are honest, it really does feel like we are running a lost race. Why continue? Our hands droop. Our knees buckle, the stitch in our side grows, and we become slower and slower in our stride, losing confidence in ourselves, losing confidence in God. Like the Freedom Riders, we are asking if the easier and safer thing to do is to walk away. That's the sin which clings so closely in the passage that I was reading in preparation for today. To give up. To refuse our responsibility to God and neighbor and to God's future. To step off the path of faith and to seek something which is immediately more satisfying, the status quo. Just let me float along with everybody else. As we run this marathon of faith with our bodies worn and our minds crying out for us to quit, the author of Hebrews reminds us that all along the way, is the host of the faithful, a cloud of witnesses who have been through the highs and lows of faith and have persevered. They are lined up and down the path, cheering us on through their stories and their examples. I suspect that you can add a few names to this list out of your own personal faith journey, as I added to the list the Freedom Riders out of the early 1960s. Also, the writer tells us to look down the track where we can see the finish line. For there at the finish line awaits the summation of our hope and aspiration, Jesus our Christ. Here is the one who centers us, the one who brings us to a fuller sense of our own being, the one who moves us beyond our ego needs. Here is the sojourner who traveled the path of a murky faith that ended up for him at crucifixion, and in so doing reveals the deeper beauty below shadow living. The one who calls us over the horizon into a transformed future through his resurrection. Christ is there cheering us on because he too raced this marathon of a murky faith. Hebrews calls Jesus the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Pioneer connects us to Jesus running the course ahead of us and marking it out for us. C.S. Lewis says it's important to understand that Jesus is not a prodigy, an anomaly among the spiritually astute that we have no hope of representing in our own spiritual lives. Rather, Jesus is a pioneer, one who explores new territory for the purpose of others following and finding their way into new horizons of their lives. Jesus, we are told, is also the perfecter of faith. Perfecter is a craftsman at work, a woodworker, if you would, who might shape and work a piece of wood until it fits and maybe completes the project that is being worked on. Perfect, the craftsman would say. That's the perfecter of our faith. And Jesus works within our lives until we are made whole through our faith, the perfecter. Let us now return to where we started, the astonishing contemporary application of Hebrews, right? The road of the church and the U.S. culture today is a difficult one. Those who have been in dying churches and closed churches will tell you it's a brutal one. And there is no doubt that God is winnowing the flock, and we feel ever more vulnerable, ever more exposed. In this season, let us look to our cloud of witnesses who ran this race before us. They are there in the Bible. They are there in the history of our churches. Let us look at the courage of the Freedom Riders all those years ago and give ourselves to finishing the journey before us. And let us also look to the finish line, where there is Christ, our pioneer and perfecter of the faith, calling us on, cheering us on, saying, I've ran it too, and you can do it too. When we recall the faithful who surround us, when we look to Jesus, all of a sudden we find that the church, which seems so fragile before our eyes at this time, is at its heart resilient and can and does continue to labor so that God's kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. Thanks be to God.